just to talk about it. You were telling me you were born in Texas.
Yes, I was born in Texas.
Where?
Hunt County.
And what major area is that?
Greenville, Texas. It's about 50 miles east of Dallas.
Okay. And what did you do there as a boy? What kind of family?
I grew up on a farm out north of Greenville, Texas. It's a cotton farm, cotton and corn. And finished high school at Greenville, went to junior college at Parrish, and then went in the service for 6 years. And when I came out, I got in the grocery business. Mm-hmm. And I had a ranch there with a doctor and I were partners in. Mm-hmm. And I had a Tom Thumb grocery store for 12 years.
Tom Thumb grocery, is that the name of the...
It's a chain out of Dallas. A.W. Cullum & Company. Mm-hmm. And I sold the store, and in the meantime, I sold my part at the ranch, and I had a slaughterhouse in Parrish, Texas. And I leased that out, and a friend of mine came to Florida, and I put some cattle with him on a share gain basis first, and then moved down here. And
what kind of basis?
Share gain.
Oh, share gain? Okay.
I bought the cattle, and he furnished the land and seen after them.
Uh-huh.
And then that was in 56, and then I moved down here in 57, January of 57. Mm-hmm. And I've been in the ranching business, made my living at that ever since.
Mm-hmm. What did your father had a farm. What did he raise on the farm?
Yeah, it was a cotton and corn farm, mainly.
Okay. Did you raise any animals at all?
Yeah. We farmed with animals, with mules, yeah. You know, then. Uh-huh. But... he always had some cattle. He've always raised some cattle, cattle. Mm-hmm. Mainly cows and calves operation. Mm-hmm. Of course, when I first came to Florida, I was in the steer business. That's all I did, run steers. I didn't have any cows and calves. We'd buy yearling cattle, steers, and fatten them out on grass to standard grade grass fat steers. Mm-hmm. Then they was all shipped. 95% of them all shipped around the Miami area, Hialeah. Uh-huh. And that's where they were slaughtered. There was probably 12, 15 slaughterhouses down there at the time.
Oh, really? They're still down there?
No, there's only one that I know of that's still down there of any size. And when the Cuban deal came on, well, the sugar, this area, the muck land, organic soil around the lake.
Excuse me, honey.
Just kick him back out. Get back out of the way, dog. And
so how much of this area now, well, let's see, we're pretty far back.
We're 6 miles from the highway, due north of the 20-mile bend pump station.
Okay.
98 and 441
right.
Highway.
So after 20-mile bend, it all came. Now, was that all cattle?
Yeah, it is all cattle and farming. The outer fringes of it was cattle, and then in close mainly was vegetable farming. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's some cattle, but there's it's mainly steers operations on that organic soil. Mm-hmm. Because it did have it grew a lot of grass, and it was you had the nitrogen there, you didn't have to put it on it.
That's right.
And but when the Cuban deal came on, well then
you're talking about 1960.
Yeah. It began to be put in more and more of that land going into sugar cane, and then when the Cuban people began to come in, it just fast went to cane.
Mm-hmm.
And they just pushed the cattle people out further away and further away until finally the vegetable farming along the coast met the sugar cane, and that's about what it's amounted to, and the cattle people were just put out, you know, they just were kind of squeezed out because cattle just wouldn't produce as much enough. It's like the farming or the cane.
Mm-hmm.
The land just got so high that you couldn't raise cattle on it.
Yeah. Price-wise.
Yes, it wasn't feasible financially.
Now, do you have any cattle now?
Yeah, I still have about 300 head of cows here. But there's 2,250 acres in this place. And I've got two sections of it leased out to a sugar company that grows sugar cane and rice on it. Where it used to be all cattle.
Mm-hmm.
We used to run 3,000 head of brood cows here. And
now, what year was that? So you came down in 57.
This was in the early 70s.
And what are your cattle do now?
Well, I've just got some cows and calves, and on this one, this upper end of it, this lighter land. And there's some vegetable farmers back there. They grew, this is Chinese, grew 400 acres of Chinese vegetables the last 2 years. And there's a couple of boys from Belglade that grows leaf stuff, all varieties of leaf stuff on about a half a section.
What do you mean by Chinese vegetables? Like snow peas and...
Oh, bok choy and Chinese cabbage and all their, it's all Chinese. They had 14 or 15 varieties of leaf stuff, of different varieties.
And these are Chinese who were growing it as
They were growing it, and it's all shipped to New York, so. They lived it. They're from, originally, down here, and then they farmed up at Stewart, and they farm in New York in the summertime, on Long Island. And that's what they distribute all their stuff there. They ship all their stuff in refrigerated trailers piggyback to New York.
What's her name?
Lee, Sang Lee.
Sang Lee. Oh, that's interesting.
I used to know their fathers back in 57, 8. Their fathers farmed over here on 98, right there by the old Lejeski place. And now these are younger boys and in their early 30s. In the meantime, they grew up farming and they've got a good education. They're very knowledgeable people farming. They're good scientific farmers.
So it's changed in that respect that the land has been pushed to Cane, and you're able to keep some of your steer and horses. How many horses do you have?
Oh, I've got about 20 around here registered quarter horses. Mainly. Cutting horses.
Okay. I was going to ask if they were work horses or show horses, or are they both?
Well, you can use them for both, but what I raise these horses for, what I come in with this group of horses is for they're cutting horse bred, for cutting, you know, at show. But they're good using horses. I use them, you know, these cattle. They're cow horses, really.
Yeah. What makes a good cow horse?
Well, like a good piece of athletic.
How are you?
Fine. This is my wife, Betty.
Hi, how are you?
Jan,
nice to know you, Jan.
Nice to meet
you. Hello.
You were telling me about what made it before was that athletic quality, but also what about...
Cow sense, too. Cow sense, you know, that'll watch a cow. Train a bill, you know, that you easy to train. It's, he's got energy, but he's not crazy.
Uh-huh.
Not racehorsey, you know, that gets all excited.
That's good, sure.
Yeah.
Now, you have 20 horses now. Do you use any of them now?
Yeah, I ride just about all of them. They're all, well, I've got some, I got about 6 or 8 brood mares, and then the rest would be some little foals and then some horses that I show at cutting. Yes. Yes.
How did you, the cattle, like you said, growing up on a farm, your father had some cattle and stuff. What did you learn from your father that you've carried into this in terms of taking care of the animals and stuff like that?
Well, like I said, we always had cattle around the place all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And, feeding and taking care of them in the whole season, year round, and just, you know, kind of grew up with it, and it was just just born around it, I guess, raised around it.
Well, say, what goes into it? I know I used to live around and work with horses, and, you know, sort of get the scheduling of the horses and stuff. Now, what kind of schedule do you keep?
Well, normally, if you run a brood cow, it depends on the section of the country. And up there, when you get into where you have a bad, you know, have where you have freezing and rain, snow and one thing or another, that you just got to make preparations in the summer for hay and feed, to feed them in the wintertime, and or grow some winter pasture. And down here, you're not confronted with that problem, because you have more or less a dormant season, but you can get a bad cold here or frost and kill your grass or burn the grass. In a week, it warm up, and usually it'll be about a 3-day spell. In a week's time, well, that grass is already sprouting out, coming back. People are due, they had got to where they grew ryegrass and some winter pasture, but as far as making hay or anything like that, they don't do it down here in this far south. First of all, you can't hardly get it cured, you know, kind of the dampness, and then you just don't normally have use for it. You know, you just don't have that. I've seen some winters here where we never had any frost. We had green grass year round. It didn't grow as fast in January, February, December, January, and February, but it grew. You know, and maybe you had, if you're in the steer operation, you may have cut back a little bit on the number of cattle you had, but you just didn't have use for hay. Oh, yes. And especially where you've got water control, where you can pump water in and dry, and then you've got facilities to pump it out when it gets wet, and you fertilize. That all depends on how many you can run to the acre and one thing or another. Mm-hmm. How well you take care of it.
Do you have your own pumping stations?
Yeah, I have. We pump our own water in and we pump it out. We're diked in and it's all ditched to where we can pump water in and hold it, or we can pump it out.
Now, on 2,500 acres, how long did it take you to put all that in?
Well, when we bought the place, it was about half of it that was already developed. Mm-hmm. And the other had been developed, but it had a muck fire back there, and we had to replant those two sections back there and ditch it and dike it. And there's big holes where that muck had just burned, you know, just the soil had burned. And it was quite a job leveling it, getting it level enough, and ditching, diking it, and fencing it. All them ditches back there in that muck, you've got to fence them ditches off, because a cow gets in it, that slick bank, she can't get out, she'll drown, just die. So you've got to fence those ditches out in that muck where a cow can't get to it.
Have you lost any cows because of that?
Oh, yeah, you have. They get through that fence and get in that ditch, and you don't find them. Well, normally you'd... if you're checking your cattle, you'll see if a fence is broke or something they've got through or got out, or you see tracks, and you'll find them before it's, you know, in time to get them out where they don't die. Mm-hmm. But they have. There's a lot of them that's been gotten these muck ditches that didn't get out.
Do you find yourself, say, surveying the area at any particular time of year, like on a sort of regular basis, you know, like a custom? It certainly becomes a tradition. Well, this is the time of year to start.
Oh, when we had cattle here, it was pretty much over it every day. Uh-huh. One way or another, either... in a pickup truck or a horseback one, because we're working cattle every day.
Mm-hmm. Any kinds of, you know, superstitions, things that you felt might bring bad luck around here with the cattle?
Oh, no, not too much. It's cattle business is basic pretty much anywhere. The season, the weather season is the biggest change in the cattle, and also toward the type of cattle you'd have.
What about that with the seasons down here?
Well, of course, I think in brood cows down here, I like half Brahma at least, and cross with most any other thing, as long as that cow give milk. I think that's the best. Angus cattle and your English breeds, they suffer from the heat. You just got to have some shade for them of some description. And even those cattle, you've got to be careful in the hot summertime working them in pens. They'll die. They'll get hot. It's hot. They'll die right there. Get down and die right there in the pens. Huh. You've got to be careful with especially Angus or Hereford cattle.
Mm-hmm. Is that because they're used to adjusting?
No, they just can't, you know, an Angus cow, I mean a Brahma cow, has got sweat glands. And where the other English breeds just sweat through their nose only. And that's the reason they Can't stand that heat as much as a Brahma.
Now, how do you learn about all that?
Well,
just come up with it?
No, it's just, I guess you can, it's just kind of passed on that you know.
Now, who first told you that the Brahma has the sweat glands and the Andes and here
for them? Well, that's kind of basic, goes back that you just kind of knew why Brahma could stand the heat better. Uh-huh. And I guess that's one of the first things if you was in the business that you'd know. Mm-hmm. Why.
Was there anybody in particular that you learned a great deal from?
Yeah. Ray Rollerson.
Uh-huh.
He's probably the best cowman I've ever run into. I learned more from him about a cow than anybody.
Really, what kinds of things did he teach
you? Everything. What that cow's going to think down there about 2 miles down the road. What she's going to do when she gets down there. He's the best cowman that I've ever been around.
Is he still?
Yeah, he lives up at Okeechobee. Ray, he's 78, and he was the most successful steer man in the Glades, and the best one. He made more money with cattle, and anybody that knows cattle will tell you the same thing. And he's seen after his cattle, and he didn't have a formal education, but he had a lot of common sense, and he was progressive. When they began to used to, well, when I came to this country, there wasn't a lot of good cow people. They were all them people over there that were farmers basically, and they just got cattle. They got into the cattle business, but of course Ray was raised in it. He was raised around. He used to. Worked for Likes Brothers all over this country when it was just open range.
Whose brothers?
Likes Brothers.
L-I-K-E-S?
L-Y-K-E-S. Likes Meat Packers.
Okay.
And the steamship company out of Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
And he just grew up in it. He's a native in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked hard and tried to keep his deals. But anybody will tell you that Ray Rollinson's the best cowman in this country, and mate was more successful, made more money with him than anybody out there. I don't of anybody. Knew more about a cow.
He takes that special sense. Now, so you're saying that there are very few people there. Is that still the case? There's just very few people around here who are, you know, working.
No, from the time I came to this country till they began to run the cattle people out of other crops, there's a lot of people that moved into this country, cow people. The quality of cattle you saw in this country just completely changed in their period of about 20 years. That it is just absolutely 100%. Of progress, better cattle, and you see cattle as good a calves in this country as there is anywhere, as good as you see anywhere. And one good thing about the calves raised in this country, it's low climate, and down in this area, your grass doesn't have the protein because of the fast growth and water in it, as you do up, and you take these cattle from a low altitude and take them to higher climate, they will really do good. A grown animal will actually grow and be a bigger cow. You take a 5-year-old or 6-year-old cow that you take her up to Texas or the Plains or Colorado someplace, higher, drier climate, and that grown cow will actually grow. And the calves down here's got a lot of stretch because of they have to eat more to get enough to grow. And then when you go put all of a sudden they've got that stretch and you put that high protein grass in there, feed in there, they'll gain weight and they'll turn a flip. And as a result, feed people and people grazing cattle and going to the range, they like these calves for that reason.
Now, when you say this country, you're talking about Southern Florida.
Well, anywhere in Florida. I'd say pretty much all of Florida. Pretty much all of Florida. But more so that this. There's just not a lot here anymore. There's just not a lot of cattle operations from in South Florida. When you leave Okeechobee or the coming south, well, then you just wasn't. There's just not many cattle.
Who are the who would you consider sort of the great ranchers besides Rawlerson in this area?
What, individual ranchers or companies? Yeah. Or George Terry, a Terry Cattle Company, had a they had 10,000. They run 10,000 acres of muck land right behind me. He was a good cowman. He and his father grew up in the cattle business up around Orlando. And of course, U.S. Sugar was they probably the biggest cattle operator at the time. They run. I know one time that they had 35,000 brood cows. They don't have any now. It's all they don't have no cattle. They're out of the cattle business. It went to sugar cane, basically. And I think they're in the process of planting Grove too. But they're not in the cattle business in South Florida anymore. And there's a big. You think 35,000 brood cows, a lot of cattle. They had a feedlot right there of their own, and and they were big in the cattle business. They bought this Terry Cattle Company, and that's all cane. They used to run 20,000 head of cattle over there on that Terry did. You know, steers and one thing, they had kind of a feedlot. They supplemented their cattle on the pasture. And then they'd take them on up to the feedlot at Orlando they had. They could feed 10,000. But it's not any more cattle anymore. It's cane.
Huh. But Terry's still running cattle.
No, they're not. They sold that place up there. They had the last piece of that land they sold, 17,000 acres, they sold it to the Mormons.
Now, are there any other ranchers in Palmetto County?
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's some ranches down south of Clewiston and on over toward Moorhaven in that area. I'm not too familiar with them now because I'm not out of buying or selling as many cattle like I used to. But J.C. Jackman down there south of Clewiston, I guess that's still in Palm Beach County. That may be Henry County. I guess it is. I guess it is Henry County. But in over around, I just don't know of any big, there's not any big spreads anymore. I don't know, they'd few around, but they'd be small.
So you're basically
about it. Well, I guess. There's not, I don't know of any, I just don't know anymore. It's of any size, you know. You'll see some around that's got cattle, and a few that somebody has bought land speculating on it, and they lease it to somebody cheap to keep in agriculture for tax purposes.
Right.
But it's not big.
I mean, there's fewer people sort of come up in it as opposed to there's some people I've talked to. Well, we started doing it 6 years ago.
Yeah.
It's more of that.
Well, and they're small groups, and there'll be someone go out there and buy a few acres and maybe have a handful of cattle. Just don't know where they're going, really, with it. Not really in the cattle business or cattle people.
How do you get along with, or do you have any problems with cane, with the cane companies or with the farming companies at all?
No, they're just... It's just a business deal, just like anything else. You know, they just change with the time. And in fact, I lease the land to people to grow sugar cane on. And they've been growing cane on it for, 14 or 15 years. And they grow some rice, too, on it. Well, just regular domestic rice. They got a half a section back there this year. Just harvested it. The harvesters are still back there. The machines, but combines.
Now, is that all your land out by some people?
No.
Okay.
Land I've got here is it's about a mile and a quarter frontage here, and it's 3.5 miles deep right here. It's just. No, it's from my front gate to the highway 6 miles. I don't own any of that land. That's Seminole Sugar and Prudential Insurance Company.
Prudential Insurance?
Yeah.
Now, what do they do with the land?
Oh, they had made a loan on it and had to take it. And they just got a manager that he grows cane, basically. Mm-hmm. Does a little farming, but basically it's cane.
The most stable crop in the world.
Yeah, it's government supported.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Do you feel any disappointment?
No. It's just not. The land is too high to run cattle on. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. If you're going to run cattle, you got to go north.
Yeah.
Lots of land in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, that's still, you on the price of cattle today, that's very, that you can make it in cattle. The land's cheap enough. You can go up there and buy a lot of good land, $300-$400 an acre.
Mm-hmm.
Where this year, you're talking from $3,000 an acre up. And that you just can't run cattle on that expensive land.
Mm.
Well, you're just welcome. I'm glad to do it. I still like the cattle business.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Do you think you're going to get out of it?
Oh, I probably won't ever get out of it unless I get something wrong where I have to. I think I always want a horse, good horse to ride, and a few cattle to chase to practice on. Anyway, I always said that if I had to quit working cattle with horses and dogs, that I'd as soon not have be in the cattle business.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to get out there and herd them with a jeep or a three wheeler, that I don't think I'd enjoy that. But times change, and oh, I wouldn't care anything about having cattle and herding them with a jeep at all. That wouldn't suit me.
Mm-hmm. Sort of take some of the.
Well, I love a horse. I love to ride a horse and a good horse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a bird dog working birds. There's nothing prettier than a good dog working, you know, on your hunting quail, for instance, or a good horse that'll head a cow. An old boy told me one time, said that there's just no way to describe it if you hadn't been there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a real rush. Yeah. Sort of feel a kind of connection that I don't think you could feel.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like anything else you get into. Watching it, it's exciting. But when you're there, then that's the fulfillment of it.
That's right. When you're right in it, there's nothing. There are no words to describe.
Well, just from friends that I've known, I've furnished cattle for cutting horse shows,
mm-hmm,
for years, and I never showed because I was too busy trying to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
It's an expensive deal.
Yeah.
It's an expensive deal unless you can win. Yeah, and if you got a good horse and you a good hand, well, then you maybe kind of stay halfway even.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's lots of fun, and we've met a lot of good people.
Now, did you do any kind? Well, you had to do some cutting as a kid, didn't you?
No, not really cutting, but it was basically, you know, heading cattle and driving cattle.
Mm-hmm.
That's basic.
Well, cutting is
reading cattle is, you know, knowing how to handle cattle. It was very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the root, you know, they've got some rules that you've got to learn to not violate to make a good score. But if you know cattle and know horses, well, it's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Maybe one of them.